Okay, this is how you start a weekend, right? Waking up to a doubleheader sweep over the Giants. Best pitching performance of the season from a starter and arguably the best pitching performance from the bullpen as a collective. Offense was just enough. Good win. Good day. It's not perfect, but a big step forward. Gain some ground on the wild card. Let's break down a fun Thursday here on Locked On Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning, happy Friday. It is September 9th. The Brewers continue their brief homestand. The Reds are in town tonight, a 7:10 first pitch. I'm Dominic Catronio. I'm the postgame host on WTMJ for Brewers Extra Innings. And I'm the statistician on Bally Sports Wisconsin. This is Locked On Brewers, your only daily podcast dedicated to the Brew Crew all season long. And today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline is where the game starts. Wow, did the Brewers need that game yesterday or what? Both games, I should really say. A two and five road trip coming home. A team that's had your number this season in the Giants. Corbin Burns had been slumping. Freddie's been pushed back. His shoulder isn't bouncing back. We're going to talk about options with him. Wow. Really top to bottom. Maybe you would have liked a little more offense, but at the end of the day, they got enough. And it was odd circumstances for what they had to do against the Giants' offense. But the way we're going to start with this, it has to be with Corbin Burns. That was the best performance Corbin has had this season, and his best really since the no-hitter last year, even game one of the NLDS. For Corbin to get 14 strikeouts, complete 8 innings, and only allow one run on a hanging cutter, and it was a perfect storm because it was 2 strikes, full count, runner on first, so he was going to be moving on the pitch. If it was like a one-out double, I don't think Lamont Wade scores from first base on that play. But it all worked out as it was supposed to. The Brewers' offense had just enough to support Burns. We can get lost in the sauce of the numbers, but the biggest thing that jumps out to me, I'm going to go through some numbers in this, don't worry. There are plenty of good ones to glean on. But there's a couple of numbers I want to jump out at first and foremost. Number one, the cutter. He threw 100 pitches total. 60 of them were cutters. 51 of those 60 were strikes. That's an 85% rate. That's one of his best rates of the season, despite one of his top five usage of the cutter all season long. He finally got back on track with that pitch. I mean, overall, he was throwing strikes. 73 of 100 pitches were strikes. He was dominating the zone, getting swings and misses. That's the next number we're going to talk about. 26 swings and misses on 50 total swings. Think about that for a second. 50 total swings. Yes, there was a lot of foul balls against him, but there wasn't a lot of hard contact against him either. When you look at the breakdown, when you see 50 swings, you may be alarmed, like, wait a minute. But still, half of those were whiffs, okay? That makes his rate a 52% whiff rate. That's freakish. His called strike and whiff rate, meaning what percentage of his pitches, of his 100 pitches, were either swings and misses or called strikes, where the batter is not putting the ball in play. 49 of his 100 pitches were either called strikes or whiffs. That is the top of the top of the top. Absolutely freakish elite. When you look at the foul balls in this game, too, he only allowed 12 foul balls. So you add it up, and all of them were on the cutter. You add it all up, a total of 50 swings, 12 foul balls, and for Burns, there are a few whiffs in there. It was never in danger, and his velo was actually up a little bit in this game, up by a mile an hour across the board on all of his pitches, and he really didn't need the curveball. But what I loved about it is he threw a new wrinkle in there with the slider a little bit today. A few more sliders. He threw 13 sliders. He got 7 whiffs on 8 swings on the slider. It's a pitch he rarely throws these days. And for him to say, oh, you know what? I feel like the slider today. Oh, man. That's ridiculous. It's so fun. One thing I've been critical about with Corbin, he is a very, very, very smart pitcher. He's been incredible all season long of how smart he is, what he can do, what he sees and swings. Sometimes, though, I feel he bounces off his cutter a little too soon, right when he's figuring it out, or he bounces off his main secondary pitch a little too soon when it's really working out. What Corbin did yesterday, he identified his cutter was on, and he forced the Giants to make the adjustment. And what I was worried what was going to happen is when he allowed that hanging cutter to Yastrzemski to hit the RBI double, that he was going to shy away from it. That was not the case. He kept firing cutters, and they had no answer for it. 14 strikeouts total in this game, 8 of them coming on the cutter for Corbin Burns. I mean, at this point, for an opposing scouting report, you know what he's got. You know what Corbin Burns is rolling to the table with. It's going to be a cutter. And when he has a day like this, when everyone in the ballpark knows he's going to throw a cutter and you still can't touch it, wow, that is something special right there. Maybe that unlocks something for him, because you count out the days here, only 24 more games to go, he's got a maximum of 5 more starts, probably more like 4 more starts. So you wonder how many more times it's going to matter for the Brewers to have him get a start moving up down the stretch. I'm going to do this live here on the air. So the next time that he would start would tentatively be next Wednesday against the Cardinals. That would be his next 5th day in that night game, and he's been dominant against the Cardinals. Now you count out another 5 days for 5. He would start the 19th against the Mets. That's the Monday the 19th. Then you count out another 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then he would start in 2 Saturdays in Cincinnati taking on the Reds. Count out another 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then he would start on the 29th against the Marlins in the opener of that 4-game series, which would tentatively set him up to pitch the last day of the regular season on October 5th. So that is of potential to get 5 starts out of Corbin Burns if he just stays on every 5th day from here to the rest of the end of the season. It also helps that the Brewers have 3 off days in that stretch too, so it helps the back end of their bullpen. More on that a little bit later. That was huge from Corbin. 26 total swings and misses. I mean, again, that's his 3rd time this year he's had at least 26 swings and misses. His career high is 30. 14 strikeouts, 1 shy of his career high there. And I want to put my hand up here real quick. 100 pitches through 8 innings. I was thinking he was going to go back out for the 9th. Given the circumstances the Brewers are in with their bullpen right now, maybe you say, you know what, let's save Devin for a 2nd game. And if things go haywire, you could always pull him in here into game 1, and then he sits down for game 2. Or you can bring in Hobie, you could bring in Bush, you can try to save Devin for game 2. That was my thought. I wanted to see Corbin go for the complete game. But then I look back at most of his starts this season, and I know his season high is 115, ironically enough, against these Giants earlier in the year back at the start of the All-Star break. But Burns hasn't really been going over 100 as of late. They're preserving his arm for, like we just mentioned, trying to make 5 more starts in these last 24 games. So 100 pitches on the dot, had 110 pitches against Arizona, 102 pitches against Pittsburgh. They were trying to get him through that 6th inning, mind you, against Arizona. They couldn't do it. That's why his pitch count ballooned to 110. He had 115 on July 14th. Other than that, he has not gone past 110. Other than that random one he had against Arizona two starts ago. Otherwise, June 9th was the last time he went past 110. And that was only not getting through 5 innings. That was in 113 pitches and 4 1/3. So the Brewers felt they had to make sure his arm gets through the game, gets through the season. They're going to need him in the postseason, especially given the news of Freddie Peralta and Eric Lauer from Wednesday. We're going to jump into that in the next segment. But what a performance. Craig Counsell said it best after the game. You know, hindsight tells you what you had, but you realize how important just getting 8 innings out of Corbin was huge, because how the 2nd game went. What a day to set the tone for game 1 of a doubleheader by Corbin Burns against the Giants. Brewers get just enough offense. They win 2-1. Devin Williams slams the door in the 9th. A good quality win. And what the Brewers were built on, run prevention. They had a tough time against the Giants. Tip your cap to Jacob Junis. He had a great game. Tip my cap to him. Brewers had no answer for that slider. He was really, really good. But they got the win. That is all that matters this time of year. They got the win. If you want to complain about only scoring 2 runs, get out. They got the win. Next, we got to talk about Freddie Peralta. We got to talk about the injuries now. We got to come back down to reality. Before we do that, one of our newest sponsors here on the show, with summer winding down, nights are getting longer. We all know that confidence can take you far in life. That's especially true in the bedroom. especially when it's time to step up to the plate. And that's when Blue Chew comes in to help you out. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable tablet and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead and be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical professionals and providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part? It's completely done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in discreet packaging. There's nothing sexier than confidence, and Blue Chew can help you get confidence where it counts. We've got a special deal for our listeners. You can try Blue Chew for free when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, promo code is LOCKEDON at BlueChew.com. All you got to do is pay a $5 shipping. Promo code LOCKEDON to receive your first month for free at BlueChew.com. They also have four more details and important safety information at BlueChew.com. All the euphoria that you had from Game 1 watching Corbin Burnes dominate, it evaporated in the third inning when Freddie Peralta had four fastballs, top out at 88 miles an hour. He even had an 87 in there. And boom, after a leadoff walk in the third, he was out of there. Craig Counsell said after the game, they're expecting an IL stint from Freddie Peralta, probably the minimum 2 weeks. And again, with only 27 days left in the season, three more off days, 24 games, if you're going to miss 15 days, are you going to be built up enough to make a start or two? Is he going to be an opener when he comes back, if he comes back? In my opinion, and the Brewers wouldn't openly admit this till the very end of the year, I don't see the benefit of rushing Freddie Peralta back. We have not seen his velo bounce back at all since coming back from the injured list. I know his shoulder was a non-surgical routine, and we're really happy about how fast he got back from the rehab assignment. But at the end of the day, this dude is a massive part of the Brewers next season. We saw how much they missed him while he was out for those 2.5 months. I am personally fine letting him sit the rest of the season, because if the Brewers pull this off and make it to the wild card round, which would be incredible, hopefully Eric Lauer's okay. We got good news from him yesterday. We'll learn more today. But what I look at with Freddie Peralta, it's not important for him to pitch. You know, if the Brewers are two games back still in the final week of the season, in my opinion, pitching in that game too soon and jeopardizing a healthy offseason is probably more detrimental to him and to the Brewers for next season, for next spring. And also, in my opinion, what this does is this probably negates the chance for Freddie Peralta to pitch for Team Dominican Republic. I don't think he's going to pitch in the World Baseball Classic. I wonder if anybody else on the Brewers is going to consider it, like Corbin Burnes, like Brandon Woodruff for Team USA. It'll be during spring training next year, and I think all the Brewers are going to want is health out of their guys. So for Freddie Peralta, personally, I'm cool with him shutting it down. Craig Counsell said that would not be the case, but everything's on the table. They don't know it yet. They think rest and strengthening of the shoulder will help him get back in whatever role they see fit for him. It's not exactly exciting and, you know, encouraging news, given one of your best pitchers is probably going to be out for the rest of the season. And then even if you do get him back in the playoffs, you don't know what you're going to get if the Brewers make it that far. I'm personally A-okay with putting him on the bench the rest of the year. The other news with Eric Lauer is he did get an MRI, and it came back structurally clean from his elbow. Remember, he exited the game on Wednesday, quoting that his arm felt like jello. Brewers said it was muscle fatigue, and that's what it sounds like. He's going to get more testing done today. He's going to consult with a doctor today, and we'll hear the results by the time we get to the ballpark later tonight. So that's maybe a dodged bullet. They have not placed him on the injured list yet. I imagine they will place Freddie Peralta officially on the injured list at some point today and make a corresponding move, maybe to add to the bullpen. In case you're wondering of who the next starter would be, well, there's no other starters on the 40-man roster that's active. Ethan Small is the only one available, and he actually just started in Wednesday's game. So he wouldn't pitch again probably until Tuesday, which would be against the Cardinals, which who knows if the Brewers want to send him into that gauntlet as a left-hander against that lineup with Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado and Albert Pujols. That's something to consider. But there are no other starters on the 40-man, and the 40-man is currently full. So if you're going to add somebody to the 40-man, either somebody has to go to the 60-day IL or somebody has to be outrighted on the waivers. And if you want to look at trying to put somebody onto the 60-day IL, I would say the most likely candidate at this point would probably be Yandel Gustave. He was placed on the IL on July 31st, so they technically could put him on the 60-day IL, and that would effectively end his season. Remember, Miguel Sanchez is already on the 60-day IL. They also could put Trevor Rosenthal on the 60-day IL, but that also changes things about his eligibility and his contract status for next season. I don't know what they're going to do as far as trying to make room for activating another starter, but the starting rotation in AAA right now also has Robert Gasser. I doubt the Brewers are going to accelerate him to the big leagues as quickly in a pennant race. You also have Josh Lindblom down in AAA right now. Caleb Boschley is eligible for the Rule 5 draft this year. He was originally signed by the Padres way back in 2017. He's 28 years old. He's 11-2 this season with in 109 innings pitched. He doesn't strike out a ton of guys, but his ERA is 3.62. He's a guy that will get a fair amount of ground balls, doesn't allow a lot of loud contact. Not a freakish ground ball rate by any means. A lot of fly balls, actually, now that I look at it. It's his first year in the Brewers organization, so I don't see him being called up at some point this year. The Brewers have something to figure out. On the other injury front, Aaron Ashby is due to pitch off of a mound this weekend. Try to figure out, are they going to send him on a rehab assignment to AAA Nashville, or are they just going to have him face live hitters with the team and then have him get inserted right back into the rotation? But now, you look to Jason Alexander, who's going tonight, Adrian Hauser, who's going tomorrow, saying, guys, stick around. You're going to be needed for these next 2 weeks. There's nobody walking through that door that's going to be a savior aside from Corbin Burnes, because now Corbin is going to end up being likely the only guy that doesn't miss a start, assuming Eric Lauer misses a start. It's going to be tough sledding for the starting staff moving forward as they try to figure out what they have down the stretch to make sure they can make it to October, if they make it that far, healthy. I want to give a shout-out, though, to the bullpen as we talk about pitching in this whole second segment. What a day for the bullpen. Devin Williams, we mentioned it in Game 1, getting the save, 3-up, 3-down. Peter Strzelecki, I tweeted, Strzelecki's going to be a big part of the bullpen next year. He comes in, drop of a hat, 2 scoreless innings to replace the injured Freddy Peralta. You look at next season. Look, Brad Boxberger is likely going to be gone. Taylor Rogers is likely going to be gone. Trevor Gott, they would have to re-sign him because he's due to be a free agent as well. You don't know what you're going to get out of Sanchez. You don't know what you're going to get out of Perdomo. You don't know what you're going to get out of Gustave coming into this offseason since they're all hurt right now. Strzelecki, under team control, has an over 3,000 RPM slider. Really funky arm angle. I mean, he's a guy that even pitched in spring training games. He was on the minor league camp the whole time. Now he's pitching important innings for the Brewers in a pennant chase in September. Trevor Gott is also pitching off of a mound, by the way. He's due back maybe by the end of next week. I'm just saying, Peter Strzelecki, he could be next year's Jake Cousins. And Jake Cousins still in AAA right now. Still having trouble with the control. Justin Topo was the 29th man yesterday. Obviously didn't get into the game. He's somebody that could be important next spring training. He still has options remaining, though. Don't lose sight of Peter Strzelecki next season. I think he could be a really important piece of this bullpen of the future for the Brew Crew, because you still have Matt Busch under control. You may re-sign Trevor Gott. You'll obviously still have Suter. You'll have the guys I mentioned earlier that are injured back again for another year, and you wonder what the Brewers are going to do in the offseason with the trade deadline or you know, with the winter meetings and things like that. But only 2 runs allowed by the bullpen, working 6 strong innings against a lineup that's not bad. And Jock Peterson, yes, he hit a home run, death taxes, and Jock Peterson hitting homers against the Brewers. But tip of the cap, great job by the Brewers bullpen. Taylor Rogers striking out the side, avenging some demons from his last week in Colorado. What a day. Really good performance by the pitching staff. Not so great by the offense. Let's talk about the offense. Before we do that, I want to tell you about our presenting sponsor, BetOnline, the number one source for everything you need football season. The Bills win big yesterday, 31-10. College football, pro football, doesn't matter. All the sports are available at betonline.net. You got matchups, news, podcasts, Opening week's games, of course, Packers are in Minneapolis taking on the Vikings. BetOnline is your continued source for sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and even golf. BetOnline is where the game starts. The offense. Okay, I got a tweet. This isn't a mailbag episode, obviously, but I got a tweet about concerns about Christian Yelich and Jace Peterson having nearly identical numbers this season. Well, there are two folds on this about Jace and Christian Yelich. First of all, Christian had a clutch RBI double in game one, helped the Brewers get on the board, and then he eventually scored on Hunter Renfro's double, a ground rule double, and that's all they needed. They win 2-1. When you look at the numbers between Yelich and Peterson this season, and to be fair, Yelich literally has double the plate appearances to Jace Peterson. So if Jace were to continue to put up the numbers that he's putting up in the same amount of plate appearances as Christian Yelich, that would be more of a compliment to Jace than it is an insult to Christian. And with the way that 2021 went for Christian Yelich, to see a .260 batting average, a .360 on base, yes, the slugging is under .400, but for a guy that's got 16 stolen bases, he could flirt with a 20-double, 20-stolen base season by the end of the year. He's already got 20 doubles. He's only got 12 homers, obviously. He's playing like a leadoff hitter. And Jace Peterson is playing like a nine-hitter, and I mean that as a compliment. His on-base is worse than Yelich's, but his batting average is right on par. His slugging is better than Yelich because he's got 13 doubles. He's even got 8 homers this year. He's even got 11 stolen bases now. He stole his 11th in yesterday's game. When you look at the WAR as well, Jace actually has a higher WAR according to Baseball Reference just by 0.1. Part of that has to do with defense. Jace is an above average, a 1.4 defensive WAR player according to Baseball Reference. Yelich is a negative WAR player according to defense. That's part of the reason why you see that separation. Jace, for a long time this season, has been one of the leaders in WAR for the Brewers despite only playing about half the season due to injury and due to usage. Right now, Willy Adames and Corbin Burns. Corbin Burns just took the lead in WAR after yesterday's game. Burns is at 3.4. Willie's at 3.3. Then Jace, 2.7. Then Yelich at 2.6. The Brewers don't have that guy that's running away with WAR like Corbin did last season. Last season, Corbin was at 5.7. Even Woodruff was at 5.7. Freddie at 3.8. And then it was Willie at 3.5. The Brewers don't have that guy this season. They need top-to-bottom contributions. They need fluid offense to make sure they win games in that regard. Because you had a little tale of two worlds here in this doubleheader. They had few opportunities, but they cashed in on them in game one. They went 2-for-4 with runners in scoring position. They win both games without a home run. That was huge. And then finally, in game two, they go 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position. But they draw walks, they take advantage of errors from the opponent, they had situational hitting with the sac fly, they didn't obviously drive in more runs than they would have liked, but Garrett Mitchell with a clutch double, he got off the schneid for a moment, trying to make the big league adjustments right now. The Brewers won in two very different fashions, one that was sustainable, and one that you skirt by with the skin of your teeth saying, all right, well, we went 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position and still won 4-2, well, keep giving ourselves opportunity and hits should fall with runners in scoring position. That's all I've been asking for the Brewers all season long. You know, the law of averages says if you just keep giving yourself at-bats and keep giving yourself chances with runners in scoring position, eventually it is going to work out. And yes, the Brewers rely on the home run ball, but it was very refreshing to see a Brewers offense just use the scoring position and use doubles. This season, when you look at the National League ranks, the Brewers' batting average with runners in scoring position sits at .249. That actually is only in a tie for 11th. They're actually just 11th best in the National League for runners in scoring position, their batting average. But league average, they're at .249. League average is .256. So they're right near on par with that. They also have a great OPS. That's because of the home runs. An .801 OPS with runners in scoring position. In the overall year, with just regular total offense in the National League, they have the sixth best OPS at .735. They still have hit the second most homers in the NL, only trailing the Braves. Braves have 206. The Brewers are at 190. They have a chance and likely will eclipse 200 home runs again. They've been a high slugging team. They're not a batting average type team. The problem is the strikeouts. The Brewers have the third most strikeouts in the National League, only behind the Pirates and the Braves and barely ahead of the Giants after yesterday's game. Where I look at the Brewers to get more sustainable offense is keep up with the walks, get runners on base, put pressure on the opposing pitchers. When you can find a way to continue applying pressure with runners in scoring position, it takes that one hit to release the valve. We've talked about this all season long. The Brewers have lacked getting the big hit, and I know you're sick of hearing that, but it's the truth. And maybe it's a fundamental thing. It's a fundamental flaw. It's one thing that they keep passing the baton. Why can't this guy get the hit? The Brewers still have the fourth most walks in the National League as a team. Their on-base percentage is right in the middle of the pack with league average at .315. The leader in on-base percentage is the Dodgers, is .337. So don't feel so discouraged about having a .315 on-base percentage at this point in the season. The Brewers are built on homers, which is shocking. They are over 200 doubles now, which is encouraging to see. But the Brew Crew, if they can continue to win games without homers and getting clutch hits, I'm all for it, because you're probably not going to be hitting homers if the Brewers do make the playoffs. You're going to be relying on those grinded out type innings, like we saw, of course, last year in the playoffs where Rowdy Tellez went off, but no one else really did anything in the playoffs for the Brewers. They need to have hits with runners in scoring position. That's where the offense has to come from. Quickly, as we wrap things up here tonight, Nick Lodolo, left-handed starter. Yikes. See what you can get out of him for the Reds against Jason Alexander. Three-game series with the Redlegs. They're coming off of a win against the Cubs 4-3 yesterday at Wrigley. A couple of guys that are swinging the bat really well right now. Jake Fraley, he had a good day yesterday. Donovan Solano has been really good as well for the Reds since coming out. Joey Votto is out for the year with a shoulder issue. But otherwise, some of their young guys haven't really stepped up. TJ Friedl is back at the big league club. Jonathan India is with the big league club. They have DFA'd Colin Moran. It's going to be a little bit different look of the team for the Reds. Again, Nick Lodolo going tonight. Chase Anderson going tomorrow. And then on Sunday, the Brewers will wrap things up on Sunday with Brandon Woodruff going on the mound for them. And also, by the way, it'll be Adrian Hauser tomorrow. And then Sunday, it'll be Justin Dunn, who's missed majority of the year with a shoulder issue. He was in the offseason Seattle trade for Eugenio Suarez and Jesse Winker. So you'll see right-hander Justin Dunn on Sunday. Standings check as we wrap things up. The Brewers are 2.5 back of the third wildcard spot of the Phillies currently held, because they lost yesterday. But it's really 3.5 because, again, no tiebreakers. And if you're wondering, well, isn't it really just three, Dom? Well, being a half game back, essentially, everyone's going to finish with 162 games, so there won't be a half game deficit. You just need to have one more win than the Phillies or the Padres at season's end, and you are in the playoffs. Padres were idle yesterday. Phillies lost to the Marlins. Phillies get ready to start a series with the Nationals tonight. The Padres are getting ready for the Dodgers. So maybe an opportunity presenting itself for the Brewers here on this Friday to start your weekend off right. All right. Long episode, longer than I expected. Corbin Burns, awesome. Brewers have to figure out what to do with the starting rotation. And here they go. Jason Alexander needs some length out of him today, going up against the Redlegs. Hope to see you at the ballpark this weekend. Then finally, an off day on Monday. That will be the next time we have an episode here on Locked On Brewers. I will be on Brewers Extra Innings all weekend long to get your Brewers fix. Those episodes are posted on Apple Podcasts as well. After the fact, I retweet them as well. You can join in on the show live as well after the games on WTMJ or 620WTMJ.com. Hope to see you over the weekend. Let's have some fun. I'm Dominic Catronio. Follow the show account at Locked On Brewers. Follow myself at Dom_Catronio. Fun episode, fun doubleheader win. Winning is fun, right? It's a lot easier to talk about wins. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy football. But hey, stick around with baseball just a little bit longer. I think it's about to get really good. Thanks for listening. Until next time, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.